Please bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit among us that as we reflect on your word, we would see your word, your will, your ways. Reveal in us the places we have gone astray and teach us to trust in your strength, your power, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So the passages that we read this morning in worship and that we read in the story this week, I have to confess, I feel like they put me into Lent a few weeks early. Because not only do we have this great prophecy from Isaiah that as Christians we cannot hear the words, "He was bruised for our transgressions, afflicted for our iniquities. By his wounds we are healed." We, as Christians, we hear those words spoken 700 years before Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and we see Jesus. That's what he is. That's what he did. That's what he did for Israel. That's what he did for the world. It's what he did for you and me. And we talk and get into that story as we get into Lent, but even before that, the other thing that I think these readings illustrated for me is that there's stuff in my life that shouldn't be there, isn't there? You say, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in your life that shouldn't be there, right? No, there's stuff in all of our lives that we know shouldn't be there. And that, for me, has always been a Lent question. In a few weeks, we'll be to Lent. It starts on Valentine's Day this year. Interestingly enough, it leads to Easter being on April Fool's Day. So that will be fun. I toyed around with the possibility of doing ashes in the shape of a heart instead of a cross this year, but I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. So at this point, we're still on the cross side. You can put your votes in before February 14th, and we'll see how it turns out. But Lent will begin, and when Lent begins, we will ask a traditional question. We will ask for you to reflect on your life and to maybe choose a discipline during this time, something that you should give up. And sometimes we do those things just randomly, like, you know, I need to lose some weight, so I'll probably choose some kind of food that, like, snacking after dinner will probably be what I would be tempted to give up for Lent. You know what? Here's what I want to say about that. That might be healthy for me, but it is not exactly what I need to give up from my life, is it? And the things that I need to give up from my life are the same things that the people in the story that live in the northern kingdom of Israel that we've been reading about for the last few weeks. They're the same things that they needed to give up, and they didn't, and God brought them to an end. 3 weeks ago, I pulled, as we were looking at Solomon and talking about Proverbs, I pulled this proverb that we brought up again today in class, Proverbs 14. There is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end it leads to death, right? That's what my idol is, folks. I look at my life and I look at it all and I say, I think I got this figured out. I know if I could just have more of this in my life, then it would work better. Insert whatever blank, fill that blank in however you want to. And it can get filled with a lot of things. Money. Joy. Time, organization, Those are all great things, folks, aren't they? Don't we look at those things and say, those are all great things? Yeah. Maybe money we get a little nervous about. You can't say money is a great thing when you're in church. But do we live our lives as if money is an important thing? Are we wrong? No. It is an important thing. It's just not the important thing. And that's that little twist that happens, right? And it can happen with everything that we do. When it becomes more important than our relationship to a God who has called us his own, we are Israel. That's who we are. It's not to pin that on one particular people. It's to say, this is us. This is who we are. And for those of you who have been on this journey with us, reading this week after week, have you noticed this is not a new story by this point, right? This is not news to as we read through the story. It's amazing to me that it's still so surprising to me when I look at it in my own life. Because it is always the case. It's the dry ground of my life. It says, there's a lot of stuff out there that I need and I know how to feed it. And then here's what happens. I start to should. And I'm okay with my own shoulds. Right? If I say I should do something, I feel pretty good about that. I might even own that. I might even lift that up and say that'd be a great thing. Isn't it great that I've realized that I should have more of this in my life? Do you guys ever do that? You like that feeling of understanding what thinking through, I should do this, or I should have less of this, I shouldn't do this. We go back and forth on that. And if as long as it's my own should, I'm okay with it. Here's what happens, though. What happens when somebody else says, you should not do that, or you should do more of this? Then we do what? We're like, who are you to tell me what I should or shouldn't do? Right? Or we might say, maybe you're right, but I still don't feel as good about it as when I identify it myself. And I still will do this. Even if I say, maybe you're right, what am I going to do? I'm going to go back, and I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to question, and I'm going to wonder, and I'm going to have that conversation that runs through my own head over and over again until I decide for myself whether it is actually an I should or I shouldn't, or whether I can just ignore it and leave it in your and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Because at the end of the day, it will still be what I decide that I will do. Ugh. What really bothers me is when I decide I should do something and then I don't. That's what really bothers me. It really bothers you guys too, I'm sure. Because shoulds are how I live. They're the dry ground of my life. Are they the dry ground of your life? There is an abundance of them. Everywhere I look, it's like the cracks in this picture, they go every which way. And I'm always trying to figure out which one I should follow and which one I shouldn't. And it's all there. It's how I live. It is the existence I'm part of. It's the story that we've been reading all the way through, from Adam and Eve all the way to Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David and Solomon and now the kings, and now we're up to Israel and the northern kingdom, and it's falling apart and it's being conquered, and they're still saying, you should, you should, you should, and they still are not. It's what will happen next week when we get to the southern kingdom and we'll see Hezekiah this week gets it right, right? He knows he should pray and we should pray, and we do that. We do that when? When we don't have any other options is what it really amounts to half of the time. Because if I already think I know what to do, I tend not to ask God. That's a terrible thing to say out loud. Try being the pastor and say that out loud in church. You don't even want to say it out loud to your friends. But I know. That's exactly the case. When I know what I'm supposed to do, I don't ask for help. Am I right about what I'm supposed to do? Sometimes. Sometimes not. Is there ever a time where I should not be asking for God's help? No. I know this, you know this, we all know this. We don't. This is the dry ground of should. And I'm okay when I should. I'm not okay when you should on me. Right? Yeah, you got that. Because that's what it feels like. Should is the law. It tells me. It tells me, or somebody else tells me, this is what should be. And when I tell myself I'm okay with it, and when you tell me I'm most likely not, unless I can convince myself it's my own idea. But in the end, we're all just shooting on each other. And we need something more. And here's the good news. Because that's the law. And the gospel is something entirely different. And we see it. We see it coming. We see it and we locate it in Jesus. Isaiah didn't know the name Jesus yet. He talks about the servant. God's servant. The one who will make this happen. That's what this is about. For Israel, for all people. The one who makes this happen. It's not what Israel should do. It's not what you should do. It's what God does. The servant of the Lord lays down his life. He makes this happen. John the Baptist in our gospel saw this as well. John the Baptist is a pretty powerful guy, but and has quite a throng at the point that Jesus shows up to be baptized. But when John the Baptist sees the dove descend and stay on Jesus, he says, there it is. There is the Son of God. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is the one who makes this happen. You see, it's not you should follow him, it's there he is. Because God is. Jesus is. Jesus is not a should. Jesus is. Jesus was the one that God sent to live among us, to show us who God is. Jesus is the one who answers our should and should nots with his I already have. Jesus will be what we become as God looks at you each and every day and says, you are my child. You notice what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, you should really do this better because then you could be my child. That's not God's word. God says, you are my child. I am your God. Jesus is your Savior. God is the hope of the world.
You are held, forgiven.
You say, don't I have to do something? Isn't there something I should be up to first? Maybe, but not in order to make what God is happen. That's the life that grows in my dry ground. It's what gives me hope in the midst of a world full of shoulds. And it's where we live today. Because when I say that, the only thing you need to do is trust it. You are God's child. You are forgiven. You are alive. You are loved. You have work to do. You have a place at God's table. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Amen.